Chairs No Waiting, episode number 442, James Best, Mayberry Days 2007. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Head over to Weavers and go soon because they got the 2018 Andy Griffith Show wall calendars. Time to get yours and get ready for next year. Wow, can't believe it's already time, but head over to Weavers and check out the calendars. You also want to check out the Barney Fife lapel pins. They're limited supply. We're about halfway through with them. You can also get you a Mayberry Patrol Car emblem sticker over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and it is awesome to be here in Mayberry with you. It always is. We have a great time. Never a dull moment here in Mayberry. And I got to tell you, it's always such a blessing just to be able to spend time in Mayberry with you. And this episode, we are going to be visiting about James Best. James Best was a classic person for Mayberry fans. He was always great for us to be around, to be with. And I tell you, there was just nothing better than spending time with James and just being a part of everything that he was doing with us in Mayberry. We were able to spend hours and hours over the years with James, and I just got to tell you, he's always so fun. And so I'm glad, as I was cleaning up my room recently, I was able to find a collection of videos that I didn't realize I had. So I ran across this video from 2007, and it is of James at Mayberry Days 2007 at Colonel Tim's Talent Time. Now, James and David Browning, the Mayberry deputy, they did these routines many times over the years. Every time it was different. This was fairly early in them doing these because it's not as long later on as they continued to develop this entire routine they did. It got longer. So what you're going to hear or see if you're watching the video is James Best on stage at Mayberry Days in Mount Airy, North Carolina at the Andy Griffith Theater during Colonel Tim's. And he's coming out, and he sometimes came out as Jim Lindsay, the guitar player from the Andy Griffith Show. And other times he would come out and just talk about playing that role on the Andy Griffith Show. Now this time, that's what we're going to hear. So he's going to be talking about how he got the role, and you know that he had written some songs. And then what ends up occurring, because I want you to kind of set this up for you, is that at some point, you know, he's just gone too far, and Barney, the Mayberry deputy, comes out on the stage and just has to stop him. Got to stop him. This is ridiculous. You got to stop. So what you're going to see and hear is this this wonderful, wonderful time, great memory that we have with James Best and the Mayberry deputy, David Browning. So I hope you're going to enjoy this. So let me take you right to it. So now remember, this is recorded in the theater from a camcorder. So the audio quality is not going to be as good as normal, but I'm hopeful that you'll be able to pick it out and they won't have any trouble hearing. See, and I want you to imagine in your mind's eye, if you're listening, James is standing on stage. He's dressed as he's got on his dark blue pants. He's got on a jacket that's zipped up. You can't see anything under it. And then at some point, I'll try to mention so that the listeners will know what basically ends up happening during this routine is Barney comes out and interrupts him. And he says, you're not a law around here. You're just a deputy. And then he comes out and he rips off his jacket, puts on his hat, and announces that he's Roscoe. So that's set up. Anticipation is there. So let's get this thing on the road. So here you go.
Now I'm a member of the state. I'm not a stand-up comic. I'm lucky I can act. I'd still be digging coal in Kentucky. My dad was a coal miner, and my mama passed on very quickly. And it was nine of us. And I was fortunate that I was put in an orphan's home that was adopted when I was 4 years old. And I was adopted and raised in Southern Indiana in a small town like this one. And I always never felt at home in Los Angeles. And I was out there, well, I had to make a living out there. And so I was very fortunate. But the good Lord gave me a chance to do shows like Andy Griffith Show. Now, tonight I'm going to do something special. Now, I tour all over, and everybody asked me, did I play the guitar on the Andy Griffith Show? Right? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. My agent called me and said, would you like to do the Andy Griffith Show? I said, are you kidding? Of course I would. I'd done a movie with Andy called The Savages. I believe that's the name of it. And so I went over there, and they said, well, can you play the guitar? Now, I am not in the habit of lying, so I said, are you kidding? I have two guitars, which I did. I go over on the set, and they said, well, here's the music. I said, I can't play that. They said, well, you lied. You said you could play the guitar. I said, no, I said I had two guitars. I said, but I'll finger it in such a way and know somebody is a true musician won't know the difference. And so I did. And obviously the people liked it because they called me back next season and I did it again. But that was really nice. And the money was good. Anyway, as I was telling you, I did get adopted, and I was very lucky. Oh, about 10, 15 years ago, I found out that the Everly Brothers were my first cousins. Now, I don't know why I can't sing. The genes got lost in the wash somewhere. Anyway, I did write some lyrics for Gene Autry. I did some movies, television with Gene Autry and Hopalong Cassidy and all those people. Well, I was under contract to Gene Autry to write lyrics for some music. And I got a couple of things that didn't amount to too much. Ricky Nelson, a couple of records with Ricky Nelson, one I'm having a senior moment for you. You get closer and closer together. Anyway, so I was writing a lot of songs, and I wrote this one song, and they turned it down. And I can't understand why. Because I did a lot of westerns. I did a lot of them with Audie Murphy and Jimmy Stewart and all these wonderful people. And so I wrote a western song because I like westerns. And I thought, I'll write a very dramatic western. So bear with me. Now, I know this is supposed to be funny and everything, but this was serious. Now, picture a young man, a young cowboy. He's stolen a horse. Now, they've caught him, and they're going to hang him. And so now they've walked him up the 13 steps of the gallows to hang him. And when he gets up there, there is a tremendous crowd gathered around. And he's looking for a familiar face. And he sings this song. Remember, I can't sing. Hangman, hangman, slack your rope, slack it for a while. I think I see my mother.
All right, Nippy! That is about enough of that. You were supposed to come out here and sing, buddy.
I was singing there.
That was not a song.
You're not a deputy either.
Yeah, I'm a deputy. I'm a deputy. Look at that, buddy. I am here. I am the only law in this building. And you got a nip at the butt. People like you.
Let me tell you something.
You tell me something. Yeah, you go ahead.
You can't give me orders. No tiddly twiddly.
Yeah, take that.
Listen, I tell you why. Because I'm just a man.
Karate out of there. Bernard Fife, that's it. That's it right there.
Fight.
Fight.
Oh,
fight.
Good.
Not Piccolo. What is a Roscoe P. Coltrane anyway?
I tell you what he is, commanding officer. You don't even know how to get a backup in case you have trouble. Like,
sure I do. I go, Andy! How do you get backup?
I say yes. It's Roscoe P. Coltrane. Calling his little fat buddy of yours on.
I tell you, a kid in elementary school could do that.
Yeah, all right, let's see it.
Hold it right there. Seen them at some point, but he has a whole reel of scenes where he was killed. These people would hire him because he could die better than anybody. And it was fantastic to watch. It was about 45 minutes of footage, and it was fantastic to watch. And he truly is. His name fits him well. He is the best. Mr. James Best. Let's give him a
So there we go, ladies and gentlemen. That's just one of the many, many amazing memories that we've been able to develop over the years at Mayberry Days. And wow, James Best was always such a great friend to us. I hope you enjoyed that. If you're just listening to the podcast and you're not hearing it, or not seeing it, I guess if you're listening to it, you are hearing it. But if you're not seeing it, maybe you want to take a minute and just head over to Two Chairs No Waiting. com and go to episode number 442 and watch the video version of this, because it's fun to see James and David Browning interact. It is an amazing thing to watch. There's many instances of this similar routine. Every one of them was completely different. They always were different. And wow, what great memories. Now, if you have never been, I want to encourage you to head over to Mayberry Days. You can go to mayberrydays.com for the website. This year, it's September 28th through the 18th through the 24th. It's always the last full weekend of September. So you can always plan your schedule so that you can be there the last full weekend of September. Betty Lynn, of course, will be there. We have all kinds of folks that will be there. There's going to be Tinkerbell. Margaret Carey is going to be with us. She's going to be doing a segment. There's all kinds of stuff going on. If you head over to MayberryDays.com, you'll be able to see all the events and know everything that's going on. The special guest, I can read them off to you. And you already should know this from the bullet, but we're going to have Betty Lynn, Maggie Peterson, Rodney Dillard, Ronnie Schell, Bettina Link, she's going to be there, Margaret Carey, Leroy Mack, Clint Howard, George Lindsay Jr., Karen Knotts, and Joy Ellison. They're all supposed to be there. Now, Bettina, if you don't know who that is, she is the associate producer of the Andy Griffith Show, Richard Olink. It's his wife. Margaret Carey was Tinkerbell. She was also Bess Muggins and Helen Scobie. Leroy was the Country Boys. Appreciate you letting us invest in your record company, Mr. Maxwell. That was his line. There you go. Appreciate it. And, of course, George Lindsay Jr. and Karen Knotts are the son and daughter, respectively, of George Lindsay and Don Knotts. Joy Ellison, she was several characters. Mary Wiggins, Iris, she was Bess Muggins' daughter, as well as Mary Scobie. She played several roles. And, of course, Clint Howard, Ron Howard's little brother, Leon. Anyway, so Mayberry Days, that's just part of Mayberry Days, okay? There's events going on. I definitely want to encourage you to try to go and check it out. You can head over to MayberryDays.com and get all the information of the events that will be occurring during Mayberry Days. There's everything from checker tournaments to apple peeling competitions to pork chop sandwich eating competitions. There is just there's too much going on for me to go through. Not even going to try. But it's yearly, so make plans to be there. Someday they may stop having it. I don't have any information about that, but they might. I hear people all the time saying, "Someday I'm going to make it to Mayberry Days," and they haven't made it yet. So take some time if you can. If you're a big fan, I know you're going to enjoy it, and just set aside that weekend and head to Mount Airy, North Carolina. All right, folks, it's time now for our weekly dose of Mayberry history. So we're going to head over to hear from Randy there about some Mayberry history. So take it away. I got to turn the sound up. Here we go.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society. The ever-lovely Betty Lynn was born on August the 29th, 1926. Betty played Thelma Lou in The Andy Griffith Show, whose last name was never given, and was the only girl Barney Fife ever loved. The character was introduced midway through the first season and remained Barney's steady girlfriend, in spite of his dalliances with Juanita, for the remainder of the black and white years. Betty's career is far more than just that scene in Mayberry, but her role in the series is easily the one for which she is best remembered. Born in Missouri, Betty's mother was an accomplished singer who taught her daughter to sing and dance. As she grew up, Betty's first roles were in shows at supper clubs, but she eventually appeared on Broadway, including in the company of Oklahoma beginning in 1943. Betty did her part during World War II, performing with the USO overseas while only 18 years old. After the war, Betty continued to act. While on tour with a production of the musical Park Avenue in 1947, she was discovered by 20th Century Fox and signed to a 7-year contract. Betty's first featured role
was in 1948's June Bride, a film starring Betty Davis. She had featured roles in several more films, including what is probably her best-known film role as one of the daughters of star Clifton Webb's character in 1950's Cheaper by the Dozen. After her film career slowed in the early 50s, she turned her attention toward television. One of Betty's earliest major roles was as a co-star in the Texas John Slaughter series, which was broadcast as part of Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. In 1960, Betty was invited to audition for the part of Thelma Lou on The Andy Griffith Show. During a hiatus in filming her Disney series, Betty auditioned and won the part. The Andy Griffith Show masterfully referenced characters consistently, even when they did not appear in an actual episode, helping viewers to see the show as being a real community. In fact, Betty was not a series regular, but was rather playing a recurring character who appeared in Mayberry not nearly as often as the casual fan would guess. She was introduced late in season one and thus only appeared twice. She appeared only half a dozen times each of the remaining black and white years, except in season three when she only appeared five times. This was partially true in the beginning, because in all her years in the series, Betty was never under contract to the Andy Griffith Show. When she started appearing in Mayberry, she was still under contract with Walt Disney Productions. She thus only worked on the Andy Griffith Show when called to do so. But Thelma Lou had become such a part of the fabric of the series that even after Don Knotts left the show at the conclusion of the fifth season, the show's producers wanted her to remain in the cast. It was Betty who chose not to do so, rightly believing that the role would not be the same without the connection to the now absent Barney Fife. Betty did return in one color episode as a guest star, but the episode is a controversial one to fans, since it was revealed Thelma Lou had married, thus breaking Barney's heart. Thankfully, the 1986 television movie Return to Mayberry finally put the situation right when Barney and the now-divorced Thelma Lou were finally married. After living in the same West Hollywood home since 1950, Betty made a major life move and relocated to Mount Airy, a town that welcomed her as an icon of the show. Betty not only still appears at Mayberry Days, but also signs autographs once a month at Mount Airy state-of-the-art Andy Griffith Museum. That's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
All right. Thank you, Randy. And remember, he does a daily dose of this over at the Gomer and Goober Pile Comic Book Literary Guild. So you can get a Today in Mayberry History there. And if you want to make sure you don't miss one, you can send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com to make sure you don't miss any. So thanks again, Randy, for that. Now, Randy mentioned that Thelma Lou had married and came back on that color episode. That's one of my least favorite episodes. Betty herself has said often that the only way she could do the show, and here was the way she did it. The only way she could do that episode was to say to herself that she wasn't really married, that she had just hired this guy to pretend he was married to her so that when she went back to Mayberry, nobody would feel sorry for her. So that's what Betty personally told me is how she got through that particular episode. So she said it on stage before talking about it, but that's how she did it. And so now when I watch that episode, I pretend that she was never married. She just never did get married. She just had hired that guy to be there with her. All right. So folks, hey, I hope you've enjoyed this. Now I got some big, an announcement. If you've made it this far into the show, you're one of our loyal listeners or viewers. And we have had a Facebook page for a long time for Two Chairs No Waiting. If you went to facebook.com/twochairs, you would get our Facebook page. But we have recently gone ahead and created a Facebook group because the page allows me to talk to you. It's not real good for you to talk to each other. So I keep trying to find ways for you to visit with one another. So I've created the Two Chairs No Waiting Mayberry Podcast group. Wow, that's long. But if you go to facebook.com/groups/two chairs, you can get there. Currently, there are only 27 members. But my goal for this is to be able to have you guys be able to communicate with each other more. Maybe I can interact a little more with you guys as well. So if you'd like to be a member of the Facebook group, just go in there and search for it. You can do that. Or if you go to the Facebook page for Two Chairs No Waiting, you can get to the group there. There's a thing on the side of the page that says groups, and you can get to it. You can go to facebook.com/groups/two chairs. Spell out two. All right. So that'll get you. We'd love to have you. Right now, I said there's 27 members. We have the Mayberry Meetup class photo, I guess you would call it. I'm not sure if that's what you'd call it or not. But the photo from the event there, it's all the folks that were gathered there. I believe this was on Saturday night. And it's not everybody. I don't see Lisa and Stan. I don't see them in the picture, or Judd. There's a few people that were there. I don't think were there when we took the picture, so that we missed out on them. But anyway, we tried to get everybody, but it didn't work out. Anyway, that's a great place. I hope you guys will take advantage of it and be able to interact more. If you're not on Facebook, that's fine. You can still email me or call me or whatever you'd like to. If you just go to twochairsnowaiting.com and then go to contacts link, that's all you'd have to do at twochairsnowaiting.com, then you'll be able to go directly to it. There's the contacts. It tells you everything you need to know about how to get in touch with me. Now, if you can't handle that, you can just give me a call at 888-684-8415, and you can get to me that way. There's all kinds of ways. Folks, I love hearing from you. I don't want to miss out on it. So take some time and give me a call. Email me. Drop by Facebook, wherever you'd like to. I love hearing from you. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I hope you enjoyed James Best tonight and our Betty Lynn connection as well. So until next time, folks, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you right here on Two Chairs. No Waiting.